Great singers learn from other great singers. A young singer named Tiffany Cooper joins us this hour to talk about her first CD, a collection of songs made famous by another singer, and that would be Julie London. It was a very big deal about 60 years ago. People who know Julie London's music rave about her, and here she is singing Desafinado.
Love is like a never-ending melody. Poets have compared it to a symphony. A symphony conducted by the lightning of the moon. But our song of love is slightly out of tune.
If you didn't catch it, Desafinado is the term for slightly out of tune, and she handles that well. Tiffany Cooper's tribute CD, Satin Mood, gets a launch party in the Rogue Valley this weekend, 7 o'clock on Sunday evening at the Pascal Winery Outside Talent. Tiffany Cooper is in the studio, an Ashland resident now. Good to see you here,
Tiffany. Thank you for having me, and I just want to first add that I am a proud JPR member.
Are you real? Okay, good. I always like to hear that from our guests. Ed Dunsavage is here as well, guitar in hand, as always, the executive director of the Siskiyou Music Project. Ed, always good to see you.
You too, Jeffrey.
So let's start with Tiffany, and this is your first CD. I mean, in a whole world of musical choices, why Julie London?
Well, you know, I've always been attracted to Julie London. I was attracted to her simplistic and honest way of singing, her style, and I wanted to tap into that. Naturally, I am not a laid-back singer. I'm a very bolsterous and big singer. I sing musical theater, I sing pop, rock, and classical, and some jazz and standards. But Julie London, her honest singing really intrigued me, her way of taking the lyrics, and her phrasing was so unique. And I also wanted to introduce a new generation to Julie London, which I think is just wonderful, her style of singing and just her energy. And I was also drawn to her personal story and her artistic struggles.
Artistic struggles? Like what?
Well, you know, she's gone through, you know, she had two marriages, her first marriage to Jack Webb.
The Dragnet guy.
Yes. Did not go very well. He discouraged her from pursuing her singing career because it was in competition with his career. And so she had to fight through that. And then, of course, her second husband, Bobby Troup, he encouraged her to pursue her singing career. And then just not being able to get right scripts for her movies. Early on in her acting career, she had a hard time landing good material, and she was just seen as a sex symbol. And a lot of the things that she started, a lot of the pilots that she participated in the early years flopped until she finally hit the big one, which was Emergency, which she
if you were born any time after Julie London's singing career, Emergency is actually where you know her from.
Yep,
she and Bobby
you know
Troop were actors on that show, which involved people coming into the emergency room all the time.
Absolutely.
And so it was an interesting show, but past the point of a lot of stuff that Julie had done. Her first movie, I noticed, was in the mid-40s, Nabanga, where, you know, you were talking about the sex symbol part, where she was like Sheena, Queen of the Jungle sort of thing, where she's living with a gorilla bodyguard. But she did work steadily late in life.
Yeah, she did. She did.
And I noticed, too, that the smoky voice from the singing apparently was from a 3-pack-a-day cigarette.
Yes. And, you know, it's a funny thing. She loved smoking, and she didn't see herself as a singer. She called herself a living room singer because she had a very limited range. And she loved singing in her own living room. She would record near the end of her career in her home. So they built a recording studio in her home, and she would have all the guys come over at 9 p.m., and they would start recording at 12, and they would go all the way to 5 a.m., and her only request is that she could sing 3 songs at 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Really?
She felt more comfortable. I think it's because she, you know, she's in her home, she's in her own familiar setting, and she was comfortable singing really late at night. That's when her voice was very warmed up, and she could, you know, she was in conversation with her friends and family, and she was drinking and smoking and...
It's funny to hear about the intimacy of the recording sessions, because one of the comments I saw online yesterday was about somebody who said that, you know, some people you feel like they're singing in a small room or in a bar late at night. Julie London, you felt like, was singing in a room with just you in there.
Yes, she had that ability to just draw you in as if she's singing to only you.
Ed Dunsavage, you're a little older than Tiffany by a year or three, I'm thinking.
Yeah, a couple.
So your own knowledge of Julie London, I'm just curious how much you knew about her growing up.
Not growing up so much, but I became aware of her more through the guitarist from her first album. Her very first recording was called Julie Is Her Name. And that was a really intimate trio with the guitarist Barney Kessel, who I was a great fan of as I was discovering jazz in my youth. And the first recording was this voice, guitar, and bass. And had the classic Cry Me a River, which is probably her most well-known tune. But that intimacy of just that simple instrumentation, guitar, bass, and vocal, really attracted me. And of course, her voice, you know, just had this special quality.
I wonder about the genesis of the term Cry Me a River. Did it exist before the song, does anybody know? Or did the song, was it the song that really coined the term for the culture?
Well, it was her classmate, Arthur Hamilton, who wrote the song Cry Me a River. And I believe that I think that song was supposed to be Jack Webb actually wanted to use that song, so he knew Arthur Miller Hamilton and wanted to use that song for a movie that he was producing, but he wanted Ella Fitzgerald to sing that song.
He didn't even want his own wife to sing the song for the movie he was producing.
But you have to remember that there was a word called plebleben, and they didn't want that word sung by Ella Fitzgerald, and so Jack Webb asked Arthur Hamilton, can you change the lyrics? Can you change it? And he went home, he tried to change it, and he realized he couldn't do it. And so he came back and says, I'm sorry, I can't change the lyrics to the song. And Jack Webb said, okay, well, the song is not going to be in the movie. And so they had this song. And so he went back to Arthur Hamilton, showed Julie the song, and said, hey, listen, I have a song that didn't make it. And Arthur Hamilton says, well, do you want to sing it? And she said, I would love to sing it. And so that late night, she sang the song and loved it. It was so haunting. And they ended up using it and recording it.
Is Cry Me a River one of the songs you guys are prepared to sing here today? Is it part of the offering?
We can. We were going to start off with something a little peppier since it's early. But
We'll have to take a short break. We'll come back and we'll get into some of the music here. We're sort of talking about a couple of different eras and people here. Tiffany Cooper is the singer in the studio with us, guitarist Ed Dunsavage with us, in a sense channeling Julie London, because Julie London is paid tribute on the album Satin Mood, just out by Tiffany Cooper, with a CD release party Sunday at 7 at Pascal Winery. And you can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange and hear more of our guests when we come back to the program in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are hearing and talking about the music of Julie London in this hour. Julie London, one of the great torch singers of the 50s and 60s, being remembered in a tribute album by the Ashland vocalist Tiffany Cooper. Her album is called Satin Mood. Is album still the operative term? It's a CD, let's put it that way. And so Tiffany Cooper's in the studio with us with guitarist Ed Dunsavage, who is also the executive director of the Siskiyou Music Project, which is putting on the CD launch party Sunday at 7 at Pascal Winery Outside Talent. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Got some memories of Julie London you'd like to share? We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. So you, Tiffany, in particular, not of the generation that would have grown up listening to Julie London. Mm-hmm. How did you first hear about her?
You know, just exploring. As an artist, I like to explore older generation artists. And so I was just exploring, and I really connected to her vulnerability in her singing. And again, like I said, her personal story and her beauty inside and out. And I said, you know, I want to tap into this. You know, like I said before earlier, I'm not a laid-back singer, so I wanted to challenge myself as an artist to sing in her type of style and vein. I wanted to see if I could tap into her spirit.
It's a bit of a reduction in scale, isn't it?
It
sounds like you can do the big singing.
I can do
the
big
stuff.
So, yeah. You know, and she was very intimate. You know, she started off, you know, with the guitar and bass, and I wanted to keep it very intimate and just subtle, very simple, honest singing, letting the lyrics tell the story. Again, she had an amazing storytelling ability, and I wanted to tap into that.
Why don't we get a sample? Ed Dunsavage and Tiffany Cooper, what do you want to start with?
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Okay, this is the Cole Porter?
Gershwin.
Gershwin, sorry.
And this is an arrangement by Barney Kessel from that first recording.
Okay, here we go. Tiffany Cooper and Ed Dunn Savage here on the Jefferson Exchange.
It's wonderful. It's marvelous. You should care for me. It's awfully nice. It's paradise. It's what I love to see. You made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling so amorous. So wonderful. Marvelous, you should care for me. It's awfully nice, it's paradise, it's what I love to see. You made my life so glamorous. Can't blame me for feeling so amorous. It's wonderful.
Wonderful by George Gershwin here on the Jefferson Exchange, sung by Tiffany Cooper, guitar by Ed Dunn Savage. They'll be appearing Sunday again to support the new CD of Julie London songs called Satin Mood by Tiffany Cooper. That'll be on Sunday at 7 at the Pascal Winery near Talent. Ed, is that normal tuning on the guitar today?
Yeah.
Okay, no open tuning?
No open tunings today, but it is a different guitar that I've brought today. I usually bring a different guitar every time I come here. So.
it's quite the axe, man. I'm always watching the fingers and watching what you're doing there. Is your voice, Tiffany Cooper, in the same natural range as Julie London's? And you're not going to start smoking to make it sort of like that?
No. I do have to alter my voice a little bit. I'm a soprano, and she was definitely an alto. I do have low notes, so it's all with arrangement. So I would say I'm a little bit, I'm a soprano, she's an alto. I just have to get the right arrangements for my voice. And
has it been fun
there.
to try to put on the Julie London outfit, the Julie London halo?
You know, every year I have an artistic goal and challenge, and this year has been to sing outside my comfort zone. And doing her type of style of singing is outside my comfort zone because, again, it's very laid back, it's very intimate, and really focused on phrasing and storytelling. And I wanted just to try to emulate that energy of laid back and cool and, hey, I'm in the living room. We just finished eating dinner. Let's just have a good old time. That's what I'm trying to emulate.
That is fun. Your influences, as listed on your website, I never thought I'd see Nina Simone and Olivia Newton-John next to each other on any list. But there they are actually in the liner notes of this album.
I know. It's interesting. When I was doing a show in Germany, Olivia Newton-John came out to guest perform with us. I was on a German TV show, mm-hmm. and she came out as a guest performer. It was a highlight.
I bet.
Olivia Newton-John. But I've always grown up with Olivia Newton-John. I've been a fan of her singing. Again, very simple, honest singing that I am drawn to.
So Germany, you've been a lot of places. You're from Louisville, Kentucky originally, mm-hmm. College at Murray State, and then off to New York City. Was mm-hmm. it the typical mm-hmm. Broadway story, waiting
Broadway.
Tables for 3 years?
No, I didn't have to wait tables. I was a hostess, but I never waited tables. I was very lucky. I became a personal trainer and fitness instructor and started doing that as my side job. And then I started performing internationally, doing international tours, and then Broadway tours, and then eventually Broadway and some film and television stuff. So I really have had a blessed career. But I've worked hard for it. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been easy.
Yeah, and you've lived lots of places, too. In fact, mm-hmm. You lived in Alaska until about a year and something ago, mm-hmm. and then now in Ashland. So wow.
Yeah.
And so Ashland, for what reason? How had you end up landing
here? Well, my husband took an executive position here in Ashland, and that's what brought us here initially. And then I just said, hey, I want to get my feet wet in this community. I want to start to serve and get connected. And so I'm here and enjoying it.
So was the CD project envisioned before you moved here?
Yes.
Was it already very much in the works?
Exactly. So the CD, Satin Mood, a tribute to Julie London, was conceived in Alaska. So I started working on this 2 years in Alaska, and then released it late last year here in Oregon. So it's been a labor of love and hard work and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Just joy.
Are there things that didn't make it onto the CD that were recorded there?
Yes, actually, I'm going to be, at the concert on Sunday, I'm going to be singing a few more Julie London tunes that are not mm-hmm. on the CD. I just wanted to round up the program with some fun, mm-hmm. familiar tunes.
Mm-hmm. So 10 songs made it onto the disc for
10
sure.
songs.
A bunch more got recorded.
10 songs made the cut.
Okay. So, Ed Dunn-Savage, we have not been talking much about your career and the Siskiyou Music Project, which, of course, is involved with the Sunday party. Tell us a bit about that. It's got some legs now and some duration.
Siskiyou Music Project, yeah, started as the Siskiyou Institute, originally formed in 2001. So we've been at it for a while. We're going into our 17th year. I've been involved with it for 16 years. And we produce about 20 to 25 concerts each year. And about as many school visits. A big part of our mission is to bring music into the schools. And so we do that with many of the artists that we present and go into various schools in the Rogue Valley. And it's funded completely by grants and our generous supporters that support the organization.
And what's the slot you try to hit in terms of styles and performers and that sort of thing?
Well, because I primarily present jazz, that's a lot of what it is. We bring in as well as the wonderful musicians that I work with around here in the Rogue Valley, we bring in world-class players from all over the world. In fact, this season I have a vocalist who's one of the top jazz singers in Denmark.
Is that the Sinne Eeg?
Sinne Eeg. Yeah, she's and again, I just kind of found her online. I sent her a Facebook message, and she happens to be coming to the U.S. for a tour, and she's coming to Southern Oregon. And so typically when people like that are coming through town, I say, do you have time to go into a school? And it's a great resource to be able to bring artists into the school so kids get a chance to hear live music.
Then what age group do you tend to focus on?
It can really range. We like getting into – we started out going into strictly into high schools and middle schools, working with jazz bands, but over the years expanded. So middle schools and even grade schools we'll go into because most of these schools don't even have music programs anymore. So it really takes a teacher involved in the school who is interested in bringing live music, and most of them see the value of that into the schools. And it doesn't cost the schools anything. We fund it completely on our own.
Have you had some performers who really knocked the socks off the kids? You looked out and saw a big saucer.
Oh, yeah,
or
all the time. All the time. Almost every time. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's a great experience.
Back to Julie London. In repertoire and in style, is Julie London's work more or less right up the alley that you usually inhabit?
I mean, I'm pretty open, as Tiffany. I like a lot of different styles of music. One of the things in researching Julie's career found out, and it makes perfect sense that her big influence was Billie Holiday, mm-hmm. and who I've always been a huge fan of Billie Holiday, and it's a very different style. It's this more laid back storytelling style compared to someone say like Ella, who's an amazing singer, but sings all over the place and has this amazing range. And Julie has this really kind of contained range. She sang right in that spot. That's sweet spot.
Yeah. It's interesting because we got the clip of Desafinado off of YouTube, and I was telling Steve Smith, the Journey drummer, yesterday that mm-hmm. everything in the world is on YouTube, because he was surprised we found stuff from early in his career.
Oh, yeah.
19 years old and playing with the Lynn Viviano big band in Massachusetts. But there's some other great gems out there, too. We ran across Ella Fitzgerald. This is why mm-hmm. it comes to the story. Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra doing a TV show together in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And he was still mm-hmm. relatively young and relatively skinny, and he would just sit in the aisle of the auditorium and watch her.
Oh, yeah.
As she performed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was just, there's some great stuff
fans
out there
of each
to
other.
See. We are talking to Ed Dunsavage from the Siskiy Music Project and Tiffany Cooper, a singer based in Ashland, about a project they're working on together. Tiffany has released a CD called Satin Mood, a tribute to Julie London. So Julie London is very much in the room with us in a sense today. You can join the conversation on The Exchange. Questions or comments, go to 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm going to ask our guests to put their headphones on because they have a call from Tony, it looks like, in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tiffany and Ed.
Actually, it's Connie, but that's all right.
Connie, okay, go ahead.
Good morning. Great subject. I have a sort of a couple of questions. I'm wondering, since we have, as far back as recorded music anyway, we have singers who have used sort of a torch or sultry style. And I wondered, I know you're not a musicologist, but the history of using the term, you know, like a torch singer, and if it was applied mainly to white women singers, or if it was applied also to the European or Latin or black singers. And lastly, what kind of camaraderie, I think of Edie Adams and all kinds of other women who are singing in the 50s and 60s, what kind of camaraderie was there among the women singers themselves? Thank you for the topic. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for calling, Connie. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Any thoughts about that? Ed, you might know about the torch song part of it.
I don't. That's actually a really good question.
Question.
We'll have to Google that one. I don't have an answer to that. I think of torch songs as typically romantic ballads, real laid back, which could be applied to many, many different singers.
Kind of sizzling hot, I guess. Yeah. I always assumed that there was that level of it there.
Yeah. And then the camaraderie question, I don't know. Do you have...
Yeah, actually, the second question I can't answer. The women were very, at that time, very supportive. I know that Julie supported Peggy Lee, and Peggy Lee supported Julie London, and Ella actually supported Julie. They, you know, Julie London hosted a lot of parties with Ella and Peggy Lee and a few other singers. And so I do know just from my research that Julie was very open. She was a humble singer, and so she was non-threatening. And so a lot of the singers at that time really welcomed her, and she supported them as well.
And she was a very private person, too, I understand. Did not give very many interviews at all. Was a bit of a homebody, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the fun facts I'm researching is that she was so nervous that she would forget the lyrics to songs. And so when she was on, when she would do television appearances, she would record her song ahead of time and then lip sync. And that was a time where that was a no-no.
Oh,
no
sure.
one was doing that. Because she was afraid that she would forget the lyrics on live television.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can understand that fear. We got time for another song before a break. What do you guys want to
do?
Cry Me
River?
Yeah, we'll do Cry Me River.
Cry Me a River by Julie, one of her most famous songs. And thanks again for the call from Connie and Eugene. Here we have Tiffany Cooper and Ed Dunsavage doing Cry Me a River.
Say you're lonely, you cry the whole night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. Now say you're sorry for being so untrue. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. You drove me, nearly drove me out of my head, while you never shed a tear. Remember, I remember all that you said. Told me love was too plebeian, told me you were through with me. And now you say you love me. Well, just to prove you do.
come on and cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. I cried a river over you.
Tiffany Cooper and Ed Dunn Savage doing the old Julie London classic, Cry Me a River, doing it well. That is one of the featured cuts on the album Satin Mood, which is a tribute to Julie London, 10 different songs that Julie London made famous. Tiffany Cooper bringing some 21st century life into. They do have a party coming up for the release of the CD, which has actually been out for a while, but it's called the Rogue Valley Launch Party. Sunday at 7 at the Pascal Winery outside Talent. We'll come back and talk more with Tiffany and Ed and hear some more music from them as well as we get the revel in Julie London and the lives of our current day performers back here on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are living in a couple of different musical eras here on the Exchange today because we're celebrating the music of Julie London, who was big in the 50s and 60s, one of the most famous torch singers of all time. And it turns out, yes, the smoky voice did come from three packs of cigarettes. Julie London is more or less channeled by Tiffany Cooper, who lives in Ashland, on a new album called Satin Mood, a tribute to Julie London, 10 songs that Julie London made famous, reinterpreted by a somewhat higher voice. And Tiffany Cooper. Ed Dunn Savage from the Siskiyou Music Project is here in the studio as well, adding guitar and talking about their launch party for the CD Sunday at 7 at Pascal Winery near Talent. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Waleed did pull up an answer to Connie's question about torch songs. And it's, you know, it's generally songs of love lost and longing, but no specific description about where the actual term torch comes in there.
Mm-hmm. And then who's, you know,
who first coined the term? Yeah. So Tiffany, I had a question for you about given all the influences that you list just in the liner notes of the album. I mean, all kinds of great singers, Nina Simone and Olivia Newton-John, I mentioned. Was it ever a close call about who you would do? This is your first CD, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who you would do your
first
CD for?
Well, it's my first recording, solo recording. I've recorded on Broadway recording,
sure.
But my first solo project. Yes.
Okay, so first one where this is a Tiffany Cooper CD. Was it ever a close call? It's going to be Julie London or it's going to be somebody else?
Yes, it was. Actually, in the beginning, it was between Julie London and Rosemary Clooney.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And Rosemary Clooney has a little bit more range, and I was right in my range. For about a year and a half, before even thinking about Julie London, I thought, I'm going to do Rosemary Clooney. I started doing all the research and learning the music, and then something shifted. When I started to listen to Julie London, her interpretations of the songs and lyrics was very haunting and really touched and moved me. And so I said, you know what? This is the person I'm supposed to be. Doing a tribute to.
It's interesting you mentioned Rosemary Clooney, though, because I noticed that you do include Come On to My House on
and that's Rosemary Clooney that we've, you know. Even though Julie London, she did cover the song, but she's not known for the song.
Really?
She covered the song, but she's not known for the song. She did live recordings of that song, but you don't think of Julie London for Come On to My House.
No, that is really Rosemary Clooney's thing. And there's a video, by the way, on your website if anybody wants to go take a look at it. Did you get a little wrinkled after spending all that time in the bathtub?
No. It wasn't that long, actually. I was in there for like maybe 3 minutes at the most.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fun video. Yeah, very fun. Come on to my house.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised at the writing credit to come on to my house that William Saroyan gets a partial writing credit in there.
Mm-hmm.
The great one.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Yeah.
All kinds of fun credits show up on albums.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if this is apparently news to you too, Ed.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a tribute album, mm-hmm. how do you find the balance between paying homage and mimicry? I imagine there's something mm-hmm. to be found there in establishing a zone that is still Tiffany Cooper's zone, where mm-hmm. you know, you're not just imitating Julie London, but you're mm-hmm. you're still giving her some tribute.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the artist's work. That's where you have to dig deep and work on the material and find where you want people to recognize the tune, mm-hmm. but you want to put your own stamp on it. And so I think that's where the longer you can sit in the music and work in the music, the better off I think you'll come to that outcome of, okay, this is how I want to share this story to the world in my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with paying respect to the great one.
Artistry also comes from some planning and design. And mm-hmm. I just wonder how much you thought about this or wrote things down. How much research you did.
I did a lot of research. Again, like I said, this is a 2-year project. But really, I would say maybe the research started a few months before the actual 2-year really working on the music. I really wanted to get in the head of Julie London. That's why I said I was really attracted to her personal story, and then coupled that with her artistic struggles, and then relating to the music my own way, and then being intrigued, and then also wanting to challenge myself to sing in that laid-back, simplistic, honest style, which is not me as a singer in general,
mm-hmm.
Just drew me in even more, and so I became obsessed.
Where did you do the recording?
In Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska, mm-hmm. at Mirror Studios.
And how long a process was it to get the 10 songs that made it on the CD?
I worked with the musical director, and then I worked my butt off, and then we recorded everything within 3 months.
Wow.
Like 1, 2, 3. I went in and did 2 takes
mm-hmm.
because I had worked on the music so well.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
Two takes, and they were shocked. They're like, oh, my God, you're coming in, you're recording this. 2 takes. Oh, my God. Yeah, because I had worked really hard with my musical director and knew, and I didn't want to waste time in the recording studio. I wanted to get this project going.
Let's give credit where it's due. Who was your musical director?
Kevin Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Barnett, yeah, in Anchorage, Alaska. Fabulous.
Wow.
And Charlie Hewitt is the producer that I recorded, the recording studio at Mirror Studios in Anchorage, Alaska.
So Ed
Fine people.
Okay. Ed Dunsavage, we've talked a bit about Julie London, Julie London in the real world, and what do you suppose were some of the things that made her so popular? I mean, because it seems like if you talk to somebody who knows Julie London, they don't know her a little bit. It's like, oh, Julie mm-hmm. London. I really love Julie London.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, researching her career, I think she recorded over 30 albums in mm-hmm. her life, and then after she went back into TV with mm-hmm. Emergency, she pretty much stopped recording. I don't know. I think it's something about, you know, her sound, her quality. If you get it, you really get it. Otherwise, like you say, she's not the most well-known of the torch singers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're thinking about Sarah Vaughan or Ella, mm-hmm. you know, or Billie Holiday, you know, those names might come up first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's right up there. I mean, she had perfect pitch, intonation. When you listen to her, there's not a sour note anywhere. And I really liked, again, as I said earlier, you know, the intimate arrangements. She went on to do some things that were a little more arranged with larger groups and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I really liked that intimate guitar, bass, vocal thing that she did. And so that's why on some of this we're pulling out, I actually have some of the original Barney Kessel guitar arrangements for some of these songs.
Oh, really? So you're able to follow Barney
yeah.
Kessel's fingertips.
Yeah, trying a little bit. Yeah. And by the way, on this recording we have, or on the performance on Sunday, Joe Cahoon will be joining us on bass, too. I want to let you know.
And neither of you guys actually played on the CD because that was off in
Alaska,
no, right?
We just, Tiffany and I just met really just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, once I heard the CD and we mm-hmm. met and became acquainted, I said, have you done any local performances, and so this is basically her first mm-hmm. performance.
All right.
And it's very popular because there's only about 10 seats left for the concert on Sunday. Yeah. So if you're listening, you want a reservation, do it today.
Okay. Do they go to the Siskiyou
Music
Project
website?
Siskiyou Music
Project website. They can do it right online with a credit card. Yep.
Okay. We are linked to that from the page announcing this session on jeffexchange.org. We got time for another song. You guys got something else?
Yeah, we're going to finish up with – this is actually a fun tune that Julie's husband, Bobby Troup, wrote the lyric for. It's composed by Neil Hefti, and it's not a feminist song, but it's a really fun song.
It's not a Me Too song.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a Me Too song, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's called Girl Talk.
We like to chat about the dresses we will wear tonight. We chew the fat about the tresses and the neighbors fight. Inconsequential things that men don't really care to know becomes essential things that women find so apropos. Well, that's a dame, they're all the same, it's just a game. We call it Girl Talk, Girl Talk with me. It's all been planned, so take my hand. Please understand the sweetest girl talk, girl talk with me. Talk, girl talk with me. Girl talk, girl talk with me.
Tiffany Cooper and Ed Dunn Savage on the Jefferson Exchange doing the old Julie London song, Girl Talk. I mean, since we mentioned, was it 30 albums you said that you cut?
About 30 albums. Mm-hmm. If you go to her discography, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So how
about
the,
one a year.
Yeah, like 37 albums, yeah. I think.
So how do you decide to narrow a list and end up with a CD of 10 songs, Tiffany Cooper?
Well, I go through them and I see which ones I connect with personally and then vocally too. The ones that fit well in my voice and that I connect with, not just personally but vocally and emotionally. And then that's how I come about. And then I also wanted to pick songs that were familiar. When you think of Julie London, you've got to have songs that ring a bell. You know, Come Onto My House is fabulous, but you don't think of Julie London. So I wanted to have songs that that fans could rally behind and get excited about as well. Again, so this is for the next generation too. So I really wanted to introduce the new generation to some of her classic stuff.
Would it be a compliment to you if people bought not only your CD, but bought some Julie London songs as well?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
were there any that caused you fits? Any that's like, boy, I just can't quite get the essence of Julie here, or I'm scared to do this song because she's so famous for it, people will scalp me if I do this.
There were two, Easy Street and for me, and they just vocally because of just the arrangement, and it's so low and trying to connect with it. But I felt like it was something I had to do. It was a challenge, and it's one of her staples, so I had to do it. The other song was... God, what was it? I just lost my train of thought. Lonesome Road, which she recorded that at the end of, pretty much at the end of her career, her singing career. And she did a lot of live appearances with that song. So that drew me in initially, Lonesome Road. So. Mm.
So 10 songs altogether on here. And how many were recorded altogether? I don't know if we ever got that number.
37, I believe.
I mean, how many songs did you record for? Yeah.
10.
Oh, there are 10. These are
just 10. But for the concert, we're going to do about...
Maybe about 16. 17 tunes.
Okay.
15, 16
so
songs.
Expand the repertoire a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Given all the performers at Ed Dunn Savage that you've worked with or that whose work you're familiar with, I mean, are there lots of oh yeah kinds of gems, like, oh yeah, I know that one. Let's, you know, here we go. And you launch right into it.
You mean in terms of tunes?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, songs that are just so within your wheelhouse. I mean, how big is your wheelhouse, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, I guess it's pretty large. I mean, every time I work with a new artist, they have, you know, their repertoire. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I like working with all, you know, different vocalists and different musicians is I'm always learning something new. And so instead of sort of playing over and over those same tunes, you know, you sort of get them in your repertoire. I like to just keep adding on to so there, in fact, one of the artists that I'm presenting, Ken Poplawski, who's like one of the top jazz clarinetists in the world, this will be my fourth time presenting him. And every time we play with Ken, he just brings in the most obscure tunes, and I love it because he pulls out Cole Porter, Gershwin tunes I've never heard of, as well as tunes by Thelonious Monk and Billy Strayhorn. So I'm all about just expanding the repertoire. So,
in addition to expanding the repertoire, do you occasionally go back and deconstruct and reconstruct, like, you know, Tiger Woods taking apart his golf swing? Do you find new arrangements for stuff you've done a lot?
For sure. I'm still playing tunes that I learned, you know, 30, 40 years ago when I was first getting into jazz. Mm-hmm. And I still play them, and I still find something new. And, you'll put it in a different key. It's one, another thing I like about working with vocalists is that you often have to change the key. And at first I was like, oh, geez, I have to change the key that to the tune I know. But then I realized it opens up a whole new window. And there's new voicings and new ways of approaching that.
All kinds of new sounds.
Yeah,
come out,
exactly.
For sure. Tiffany, before we go, I'm curious about your other work as an executive speaker. So, do you speak at corporate gatherings?
Yes, I'm an executive public speaking coach, and I coach politicians, TED Talk speakers, and executives, and business professional, and artists, and amateur.
So it's less about the speaking than you training people.
I train people in public speaking, yes, and so I do presentations and one-on-one coachings, and I really enjoy that kind of work. I really enjoy helping people communicate effectively and tell their stories.
That sounds great. Not a dull moment in your career. It sounds like Tiffany Cooper's album is called Satin Mood, a tribute to Julie London. The CD is out now. The launch party is Sunday at 7 at Pascal Winery outside Talent. Ed Dunsavage from the Siskiyou Music Project, putting the session on, and played guitar here today. Always good to see you, Ed.
You too, Jeffrey.
Thank you
both for coming in.
Thank you.